Well, hello everyone. Phil Giuliotti here again. A little less locked down, I think everyone is. And the corona pandemic is by no means over, but at least this phase of it is a little more encouraging. I am sure in my medical profession there will be a second wave because this is generally how these viruses work. And we'll probably see it next winter mixed in with flu, but that's another story. And as you know, if you've been following these videos, that I feel, and this is my personal feeling, as I've been saying, and many people agree and many people do not agree, but I think this has been a divine chastisement. This has been what we've been calling a forced Sabbath, a forced Shabbat, where our work, our leisure time, our interactions with people has been radically curtailed. And although it's improved a little bit the last couple of weeks, we had 2.5 months where our lives were radically different than they ever were during any other typical medical pandemic that comes around every so many years. The last great one was 1968 and 69. And there was one in 1957, 58. And of course, there was the great pandemic of 1918-1919. I can't speak to those in terms of the way I can speak to this coronavirus since, I was in high school during the last one and in kindergarten or first grade after the other one. And of course, not born in the 1918 pandemic. But this has been a very interesting time in that people have had time, as I've been saying, to reflect and to pray and to study the scriptures and to repent of things and to look back over our lives. And I know that it's been very, I hate to say beneficial, because it's also a tragedy that at this date, almost 100,000 people have died. But it has been also a time of grace and mercy for the world. My feeling is, and again, it's my personal feeling, that other waves of things are going to come, not necessarily disease, but disease, famine, war, and each one is going to be worse than the time before until Messiah Jesus comes back. After all, remember he told us that it was going to be like a woman in labor. You know, contractions start, they get more powerful. And then they get very, very intense and close together, and then the baby's born. And he said this is how it was going to be for his coming. So, and again, we have to take all these things in context. We have to take into account Daniel and Revelation and current events, and we don't know exactly when he's coming back. But this has been a very interesting time, as I mentioned, and we talked about how back in the first video about how the culture, which has gone into the darkness of immorality and death and destruction of God-given concepts like sexuality, the family, marriage, conception, development, and birth, gender, have all been in the process of being destroyed. Because we have pushed God to the horizon and beyond. And we've told him, basically, we don't need to have you around. We'll take care of our own situation. What was true 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago cannot possibly be true now. Those were just quaint fables and superstitions. And we've all seen this happen in our culture. And if you're under the age of about 30, you don't know anything different because this is all it's been your whole life. And we talked a couple of videos about the church and the sense of how Christian teachers have impacted this. And I think is one of the big reasons for coronavirus. And I think it's a huge reason because, and I encourage you to go back and watch all the videos on the YouTube channel that are labeled, you know, coronavirus with a number, or thoughts on coronavirus or whatever. I always call them different things. But the fact is that attention has been taken away from the gospel, and this is what I'm going to talk about next time, to false gospels. Attention has been taken away from the cross of Jesus and the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus on the cross that is the center. It's the centerpiece of salvation. It is the only means of salvation, has now been either diluted or totally discarded. You rarely hear people talk about it anymore. And God bless Franklin Graham and others. And I was personally upset that Ravi Zacharias just passed away within the last few days. But these were men who always stood for the gospel unwaveringly. And most leaders, and this includes leaders of major denominations, we're going to talk about the Pope and some other people as time goes on, so don't worry. But tonight we're going to set up kind of a biblical basis for that. But attention has been taken away from the cross as the center. The cross is the center. This is what matters. How many times you say the prayer, where you stand when you say the prayer, whether you like candles, you don't like candles, whether it's Saturday morning or Sunday morning, or even if it's Thursday morning, or what time of day it is, or the fact that I pat myself on the back because I'm such a good person, and I've kept, you know, pretty much all God's law, and I've never killed anybody, and we delude ourselves. We hear people talking about how every religion leads to the same place, how God created the diversity of religions. These are not biblical concepts. These are not Judeo-Christian concepts. Jesus never, ever said anything like that. In fact, he said, "No one comes to the Father but by me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the door. I'm the narrow road." Most people are on the broad road to destruction. There's, as he put it, very few that are on the narrow road to salvation. So this is where we stand. And, you know, Jesus warned about false teachers coming. John warned about it. Peter warned about it. Paul warned about it. And, you know, as when any of these men were preaching in a town or a village or whatever, when they moved on to the next town or left, then the false teachers would come in. "Oh, I know that guy Paul was here, and I know he's a good speaker, and he brought up some interesting things, but come on. That can't possibly be true. How can Jesus the Messiah be 100% God and 100% man? How can he have died as blood atonement for every sin? Come on, does that make any sense to you?" Paul said, "I only preach Christ and Christ crucified." Next guy comes by and says, "Oh, come on. It's nice. You can talk about that if you want. But I also have this other way." You know, Jesus did not die on the cross saying, "If you want to follow me, that's great. I'd love to have you in my church. That's cool. But if you want to follow any of these other guys, I mean, that's okay too, because everything goes to the same place." He never said that. He never indicated that. Definitely not Christian belief, tradition, or scripture. So we're going to start in 2 Peter. I hope you know that Peter wrote two letters. And in 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 1, Peter says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bringing themselves to swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." So teachers are going to arise from within the body. They're not going to come from Venus. They're not going to come from Mongolia. They're going to come from within the church. Peter's warning, false teachers are going to come. And people are going to be seduced by them. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with following Islam, if you like, because after all, it's monotheistic. There's laws of morality and obedience. So if you just do those things and make sure that your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you'll be saved. or any other faith that you want to mention. I'm not picking on Islam necessarily. If you want to follow Buddha, Buddha said, when Buddha died, he said he didn't understand what the meaning of life was. He didn't understand anything about who he was and where he was going. Well, you want to follow someone like that? The Messiah knew exactly who he was and where he was going. And people are seduced by false teachers. They are seduced. And like I said, true teachers are always followed by false teachers. And false teachers deceive, they distract, and they take attention away from the cross. You know, when Satan approaches Eve in the garden, he does a very clever thing. He kind of eggs her on, and like I always say, and if you know me, you're tired of me saying this, but I don't care. Satan uses the same strategy now that he did in the garden. And why is that? Because it works. Now, Eve, did God really say that? Yes, he did. Okay, well, maybe he said it, but that's not what he meant. What do you mean? Well, come on, think about it. Why doesn't he want you to do that? Like, what's his deal? Oh, he's got an ulterior motive. Come on, Eve, you should be able to figure this out. Why do you want somebody telling you what to do? And she's taken away from the truth. We're moved away from the truth, yes, by demons, and, you know, we're not going to get into that, but by false teachers who play the part of the demon and say, now, come on, did God really mean that? Could he possibly have meant that marriage was between a man and a woman? I mean, maybe then it was important, but he can't possibly mean that now. Come on, you guys, does that make any sense to you? And so people are deceived and distracted. The human teachers, you know, there's just a group of religious leaders, and I shudder to think of how they think, but it even included Baptist leaders who talked about how abortion is a Christian thing to do. A Christian thing to do. You know, not to talk about politics, but the Speaker of the House says, you know, we're here doing the Lord's work. And I remember a Facebook thing where a man was looking at a newspaper reading that article and said, I'm not a priest or anything, but I'm pretty sure killing a baby a few days before it's to be born is not doing the Lord's work. So preachers, teachers have taken people away from the truth. And they look nice and they look respectable and they have credentials. One of the leaders of some abortion rights group is an Episcopalian minister, a minister of the gospel, who is now telling women that it's okay to have abortion. It's okay to murder their baby. They sound very good. They have all kind of credentials. They've been to universities. And the one thing they all have in common is they tell a lie which has a kernel of truth. There's a kernel of truth. We want to care for women. That's a kernel of truth. And then it goes on. And false teachers tend to have a much bigger following than true teachers because they draw people who have no familiarity with Scripture, no familiarity with 2,000 years of Christian tradition and teaching, 4,000 years of Judeo-Christian tradition and teaching and thinking and Scripture. They don't have a foundation. Their houses are built on shifting sand. And these people bring a pleasing message. Oh, that sounds good. Oh, yes, that's nice. That makes me feel very peaceful. I like that. That's a much better message than those guys down the street that are saying, according to the Bible, these things are wrong. And according to Christian tradition and thinking and teaching, these things are wrong. This is a much better message. It makes me feel better than that. And so people will leave the truth of salvation for a lie because it makes them feel better. The truth of salvation is the kerygma. It's the basic Christian gospel that Jesus is the Son of the Father, that he was incarnate. He came to earth and lived as the God-man. He died on the cross as blood atonement. Blood atonement. This is why you need to study the Torah and the books of the Old Testament, the Tanakh. Was raised from the dead, ascended into heaven, and then the Holy Spirit came to give birth to the church and to evangelization. That is the truth of salvation. And the Jew don't have righteousness of your own in order to earn your salvation. Because if you had to earn your salvation, there would be zero people in heaven. There would be just God and angels. So many people will leave the truth of salvation for a politically correct message, a message that sounds peaceful, a message that sounds like, hey, that really fits in with my way of life. If God wants me to be rich, I don't like that stuff about deny myself and pick up my cross and follow him. I don't like that business of the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I don't like that business about they're going to tie you up and take you where you don't want to go. I don't like that business of they're going to take you to the courts, they're going to take you to the synagogues, and you have to defend yourself. I don't like that business of being in the Colosseum with the lions, or Nero lighting his garden with people. I don't like that part. I like the part about how I'm supposed to be rich, how I'm supposed to be prosperous, how I'm supposed to be healthy no matter what. It doesn't matter if I'm 105 years old or 205 years old, I should be healthy if I have faith. Those are the teachings going around. Now, a true teacher is different. A true teacher desires people to be saved, wants to teach the knowledge and the authority of the scriptures, not their own gospel, puts Jesus and the cross at the center and works for the benefit of his congregation to not only bring them to salvation, but to become true disciples and to bless the congregation as a result. He may not be loved by the world. In fact, he won't be loved by the world. He stands on the authority of Scripture, not a politically correct message that fits in with the world. You know, ancient cities had walls around them, and there were watchmen on the walls. And they would warn of danger. They would always be there looking out. Because the church, which was inside the wall, was different than the land outside the wall. Jesus talks about this in Matthew, might be 5. And he compares it to the idea of the vineyard that the prophet Isaiah talks about. But in our day, especially the last 20, 30 years, the watchmen have come down from the wall, or they're sleeping on the wall. They've opened up the gates.